Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey, this is Mike Smeltz from the Glue Guys. Before we get started, we did this pod and I forgot somehow that Jaylen Brown was done for the year. So if you hear me reference Jaylen Brown, just like make a bleep noise in your own head. I don't really talk about him all that much. And to me, it really doesn't impact how I think about Celtics versus Wizards in terms of matchup for the Nets. I still think the Wizards are scarier. But for some reason, I just forgot that Jaylen Brown was done for the year. So apologies and enjoy the show. On today's episode of the Glue Guys, we are going to discuss the Nets' possible first-round playoff opponents. There's two possibilities, the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards. We'll talk about that. James Harden's return, we saw that in action. And so much more about how we're feeling right now about the Brooklyn Nets heading into the 2021 NBA playoffs.
Nice, Mike.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall, TheAthletic.com. Welcome in the YouTube audience. We are live on YouTube right now. Appreciate everyone that's there. Jump in if you're watching us on YouTube. Jump in on that chat.
Yes.
Get crazy and wild.
Spam the comments.
Start taking some of those
start spamming.
Get crazy.
Yeah, post
Say
links to whatever, however to get rich quick, you post that in the YouTube chat, please. Yeah.
Just Google Fournier. Google his last name and something great will come up. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. I'm good. I'm fired up. You know, we're about to get, things are going to get interesting, Mike. Wow. This is really your show, I feel like. This one is going to be, I feel like I'm just going to set aside and let you do a lot of the talking, because there is never going to be a time where your intersection of basketball interests are more closely aligned than well, potentially it could be if the Wizards actually beat the Celtics in this, in this play-in thing. Then it'll be slightly more aligned, but still.
Oh, I thought you were going to finish.
No,
I was like a cliffhanger. I was like, what is he going to say?
Something crazy.
He's going to say something great here. Yes, I grew up a Wizards fan, which probably people love to hear when I talk about that. I grew up to be a Wizards fan, and I still deeply appreciate the Wizards, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. I got to say, it was a weird feeling. Yesterday in the NBA was a fantastic day. And the day would have been fantastic if we didn't have the play-in, because that Hornets-Wizards game without the play-in, that is literally a play-in game. Whoever won that game would have been the eighth seed, and the person who lost would not have been in the playoffs without the play-in. It was just so intriguing. You cared about the Lakers game last night. You cared about the Golden State Warriors, what they were doing, and Steph Curry. But from a Nets perspective, Bri, and I don't know if you feel this way, it was a little, there's a little fear, right? I don't know how much fear. I don't know how to equate it to a movie, a film.
Okay.
There's a little fear of this Wizards team. If you're any team, if you're the Sixers, if you're the Nets, obviously the Bucks won't play them. The Wizards are a little scary.
Yeah.
They're a scary wizard. They're Snape-ish,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah. Is that the
scary? Because they're not Voldemort.
They're not Voldemort.
You know, is that
Snape-ish isn't scary. It's just like, he's like, you're definitely evil. Just shut up. Stop pretending to not be evil. That's the thing with Snape. But then he doesn't become evil, I think. I don't know. I didn't read those books.
Oh, God, Brian.
What
reveal at the end of those books what Snape really is doing. Snape is basically like, if someone was in love with Melinda French Gates all these years, right, but wasn't Bill Gates, and then finally at the last minute right now swooped in and swooped off Melinda French Gates off her feet, that would be Snape. But except Snape didn't have that opportunity.
So all he took care of. That was great. That was an excellent summary. And thank you. And
all Harry Potter fans like, that's not true. What was just said was false.
I appreciate that false summary.
Yes. I'm obsessed kind of with the Gates. I'm a child of divorce, so all divorce I enjoy.
That's piquing your interest, huh? The Gates.
The Gates divorce is tasty. It's tasty in a way that the Bezos divorce wasn't, really. Mm,
it's got some meat on it, yeah.
Yeah, it's got more meat on it. Sorry, by the way, my coffee cup's green, so...
Yeah, your green screen internet. What kind of scary... So my understanding, I didn't watch much Wizards basketball this year, you know.
Yes.
I didn't get off the couch to go pursue pursue that. My understanding... Correct me if I'm wrong about my understanding of what is scary about the Wizards. Basically, you know that, like, you know, chaotic good, like lawful neutral thing? The way that I sort of...
I love when you go in these directions.
The way that I sort of see the Wizards is like on the chaotic good side, right? Like they are a root worthy team. They're trying to do the right, but they have chaotic pieces that can just kind of like sometimes just be excellent enough to win games. But that it feels like it's basically like Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are just like trying to catch fire every night. Am I incorrect about that assumption? Is there something strategic going on?
Yeah. It's just the two men, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, like Lethal Weapon, just two men causing havoc in a larger system. Can't really work with partners, can't work with Chris Rock when they bring him in or Joe Pesci when they bring him in. It's really got to be Mel Gibson and Danny Glover. And of course, Russell Westbrook is Mel Gibson, if we're going to pick either of the two.
Fair.
Danny Glover is Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this shit. And so like there's this weird thing that's happening, right? So if you look, I love cleaning the glass. If you go and cleaning the glass, one of my favorite things to do is just look at the previous 2 weeks. Okay. So you can see how good a team has been defensively compared to the rest of the league or offensively compared to the rest of the league. And the Wizards, the traditional thought is that the Wizards are terrible defensively, that they are horrific. They're actually middle of the pack at this point defensively within the last 2 weeks. I think the Wizards are like 17-4, something crazy like that within the past 21 games.
Sure.
That could be wildly off, but they're doing really well.
Sounds right.
The thing, you know, and so this is evolving, this conversation into a who do you want first round matchup. The scary thing about the Wizards, if we're going scary things, right, the scary hours podcast, is the Wizards do have two dudes that will not be at all afraid of James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. The difference is that neither of those two guys really play defense either. So it's not like Drew Holiday and Pat Beverly, like two dogs defensively, Kyle Lowry, where they will create sort of a defensive dramatic tension. I mean, Bradley Beal's really just going to try to get his 30, and he's not going to guard Kyrie Irving all that difficult.
Yeah.
So it's not like terrifying, but they do have those two guys where, I don't know, the Boston's two leading men, they're Tom Cruise and Ben Affleck, are just young pups. I don't know why it's like so filled.
You're really cinematic
today.
They're
all bad.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. While you were saying there was somebody smushed the follow on our YouTube Live, and it caused a John Cena drop to trigger, which completely like took over, and I couldn't hear it. so you know, it's...
Are you listening to our YouTube as well?
Well, so it's from the OBS. It triggers it and then does the whole thing. So... But there was an echo because they're both going at the same time. So we're working through some all kinds of new tech.
So everyone who's, if you've hopped in on via the YouTube audience, everyone just starts subscribing and you're going to destroy Brian's ears.
You'll take me out of the play. That's how it'll work, which will be fun. It'll be fun to watch.
We're going to do I kind of explained this to you, and we're not going to do it this episode. We're going to do a killer comparisons, revenge movies and teams the Nets could play in the playoffs.
Mm.
The level of revenge.
Wow. I mean, we got to think of one for Boston right now. I mean, like this is such a.
Is it John Wick when you kill his dog?
Well, the thing is, it's like,
what's the greatest like revenge move? What film epitomizes revenge in the greatest way, in terms of the journey?
I'm almost thinking it's sort of like
the
Vader,
Count of Monte Cristo,
Vader throwing the Emperor into the chasm. Or something. Like, it's not like just like a moment of revenge, not necessarily a revenge movie, you know?
So that's interesting. So you really take that as I took that as a protection moment. You took that as revenge, like Vader recognizing took away my family from me,
yeah.
Essentially.
He's like, I've been second, you know, I've been an employee of this guy for 30 years now, maybe, who knows how long. and it was
getting that.
He gets his. I mean, the guy's getting
99.
The guy's getting the paycheck.
Was he freelance or was he?
He is getting health. I mean, obviously, he's got
healthcare.
An elaborate suit. Yeah, that's going to cost a pretty penny to the company.
That's healthcare.
This is good.
You don't just get that as a freelancer.
That's a
right.
Good,
you don't spur for the chrome black suit if you're not getting that union healthcare.
Hell no.
So, anyways. Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Before we dive too much into like the future playoff stuff, we did get some tasty developments, right?
Mm-hmm.
So James Harden came back. He played with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Kind of odd minutes. James was being quite passive.
Yeah. Did you read into anything about the DNP last night? I know that you're a tinfoil hat wearing son of a gun.
How scared should we be?
I mean, if you're not scared, then nobody's. I mean, you're the most.
I'm not scared. Okay, yeah, I'm the most terrified of everything.
You're the Punxsutawney Phil of injury concerns.
Well, there's my shadow.
Yeah.
must be a torn Achilles. Right. No, I'm not scared. He was sipping the smoothie quite casually on the sidelines. The smoothie to me is an indicator of feeling confident in oneself.
That's true. That's a great point.
If you're willing to drink the purple smoothie on the sidelines, whilst your feet are kicked up on a stanchion, then I think you're feeling okay.
With like a 2-foot straw too. That's a big straw.
Well, we're going to do, we have an annual tradition, Brian and I, we usually just save it for the off season, but I think I'm going to move it up into the playoffs. Nets cocktails, where we make cocktails off of, and I'm telling you, I'm making you a smoothie. There's going to be a smoothie cocktail this season because the smoothie is so omnipresent in Nets post game, during the game when guys are injured. Are you worried about James Harden's injury?
No,
should you be worried?
No, I'm not. I just wanted to. I mean, I wanted to check in with my favorite worry wart, you know, and because you know, if you weren't worried, then I'm not worried at all. You know. It's always going to be the case.
I'm actually feeling great.
Oh my gosh.
About the Nets.
Really?
Yeah. The concerns sort of, so like I, for some reason I listened back a little bit to our Bucks, our post Bucks podcast, because that was a dark time in Nets lore and it kind of, obviously it stinks because if the Nets had shown up better against the Bucks, one, it would have meant something that, hey, like, the Nets are way better than the Bucks, a team that they will now probably play in the second round.
Mm.
And that first seed was the top seed in the East was so attainable.
Mm.
It was right there for the picking, right? I mean, the Sixers only finished, I think, a game above the Nets to finish the season. The path for the first seed is so much more tantalizing so much more clear than the seventh seed. I mean, the second seed versus the seventh, then versus the three seed in the second round and blah, blah, blah. But I was listening back. It's just, even though Harden didn't do anything that great, seeing Harden out there with Kyrie and Durant was like, oh, yeah, that. Mm-hmm. That is the ideal of this team, and that should still exist.
The one, right. I mean, that heavily passed around clip of where he, like, James Harden's inbounding the ball with just Nick Claxton, and he, like, whispers a play into Nick Claxton's ear, and the play is basically like, I'm going to go, I'm going to jog the ball up the court, I'm going to pass it to you at the top of the three-point line, and then screen both of our guys who are not going to be expecting James Harden to drop the ball off to Nick Claxton at the three-point line and have you lefty drive layup this thing in. And it totally works, like, perfectly. And you're just like, this is the genius of James Harden. You know, it's not just that, like, he's this huge orbit, gravity-pulling, you know, planet on the court. But he also is just, like, really clever. Just a really clever guy. And he's the engine. He's really the engine that makes the whole thing work, you know?
Can I do the, this is a podcast about a single team hometown Homer thing for a sec?
Homer it up.
If you listen to our podcasts before the Harden trade, I'm going back when we talked about the Houston Rockets, it was like, it was so negative on Harden because of the way that they played basketball. But him in Brooklyn is the best thing that has ever happened to him in his career. Not just because he may have a chance at winning a championship and all that stuff. I think it brings a new level of appreciation, the way he's playing and the intel. Like, he is one of the smartest players in the NBA. I mean, you don't get to be this good with, like, he has obviously great physical traits, but he's not LeBron. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not Durant. Durant is just a cheat code, as they say. Harden is a 6'4", slightly chunky, long-armed, crafty guard.
Yeah.
It's quick, totally, powerful, totally. But he's, like, just so damn smart. Like, he knows, you talk about that Claxton play. He just knows that, like, I'm going to basically move the chess pieces around. I'm going to force you into the Queen's Gambit right here.
Sure. I mean, the thing that, like, yeah, he really knows what the other players' expectations are of, like, the other guys that they're guarding. That's sort of like, you just tell in that moment, like, what was smart about it was, like, they just don't know this about Nick Claxton. Like, these two guys, like, Jacob Poeltl, whatever the hell his name is, Poeltl, doesn't
Jakob
know.
Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah. Poeltl? Jakob Squirtle doesn't know anything about Nick Claxton's lefty drive game. He doesn't know the first thing about it. And James Harden knows that about Yagoob. So,
there's another dance partner within that routine, which was Nick Claxton. And I've been so impressed with Nick Claxton's ability to, like, immediately accept coaching, immediately accept the advice of his teammates. Because if you think about it, the NBA is littered with big men as talented as Nick Claxton, like a Dwight Howard. I'm not saying they're exactly the level of terms of talent, but I don't really think it's that far off. The big men want to do certain things. They want to post up, right? That's the thing that they all want to do. They don't want to just do pick and roll. They all just don't want to receive the pass. Nick Claxton, in year two, he's doing exactly what he should, right? Mm-hmm. It's like he is doing the thing. He listens to his teammates. They say, I want to pick here. He sets the pick.
Yeah.
And then he just waits. Yep. And then he gets the ball and he dunks it.
Yeah.
It's all he does. He doesn't take threes that are crazy wild.
Yeah.
He doesn't do behind the back dribbles, even though he has that ability.
He did trim the fat, like, really, like, precociously trimmed the fat. And you could see it in the beginning of the year too. He was like, am I going to be leading some fast breaks? And we were like, we should probably not, maybe, you know, not that you can't, and that doesn't, like, in a different universe. Well, like,
that is what he did at Georgia. Like, right. He was like a,
if it's you and not Jared Allen in that Cavs trade, go ahead. You and Colin Sexton, go run that break, you know, but not here. No, thank you. Not yet. You know, someday.
I was listening to Bill Simmons's pod and he was talking about how important Blake Griffin is to the Nets and how, like, kind of precarious of a position that puts the Nets in. He did not mention Nick Claxton, and he does have to list the whole roster. We did our last episode. Brian had an amazing bit of comparing Nets role players to characters of The Sopranos. But I ranked the role players as we were doing it. And I put Blake Griffin number one, mm-hmm. I think.
Of most important role players.
But Nick Claxton was third. And, I mean, Claxton's just going to get, he's just going to be so vitally important in these minutes in these games where, you know, he's not going to, again, we talked about the Embiid stopper or the Giannis. I mean, he had those three possessions against Giannis in one of the Bucks games where he shut down Giannis.
Yeah. By the way, some guy was spitting venom at you about that, about not putting Bruce Brown higher. He was on the YouTube comments. So
Bruce, not putting Bruce, we're not even have Bruce Brown. I don't think I even, I think that's right. Yeah. I failed in that moment. I think I had him like fifth or sixth.
I think you had a fifth or sixth. Yeah.
You know what that was? I think that was part of what was in my rankings was a little bit of variance and ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Bruce, it's like he's reliable, right? Yeah. Like I know what he's going to, it's kind of with what the Landry Shamet thing. Like I know what Landry Shamet's going to do. I know what Bruce Brown's going to do. And Joe Harris is really, like really the most important role player just because of the points production. But I also know what he's, you know what he's roughly going to do.
I think that's a fair take. I mean, Blake Griffin has like, he's had 25 point per game seasons. Like there is a legacy there of like, what if he just like all of a sudden goes like back in the time portal and is like really good in the playoffs? You don't know. There's something crazy there.
There's going to be he's going to get all like big shouldered and big elbowed and hit up Giannis in the face. What's up?
Can I say this last thing about the Bill Simmons podcast too? I listened to that last episode and it was like nectar from the gods. That was delicious the way that they were. It was basically like a 30-minute kvetching. Did I do that right? Kvetching session about the Boston Celtics, and like a quote that I could literally get tattooed on my ribs is how did he put it exactly? It was just that like that it was basically like the team that we supposedly fleeced in that trade is now going to go to the finals before us, which is, you know, I could do a Rococoian pattern, maybe like some Bam Margera, you know, a heartogram with that with that tattooed on the ribs. That's how delicious that was.
That's why, you know, so the complex feelings of the Wizards and the Celtics playing for the seventh seed on Tuesday night. On multiple levels, I want it to be Boston so bad.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you really do cold, hard analysis, which roster has more talent, I still think it's the Celtics. Like, I still think the possibility that Kemba's healthy. I really don't even know the state of Kemba Walker anymore. Mm. I think Tatum's a better player than Beal and Westbrook. Like, particularly in a playoff because he has the length and he is like the, he has the Kobe shot making ability, not saying he's Kobe, but he has sort of that profile. He's always wanted to kind of do that. And Jaylen Brown is really effective. So like, there's some fear that like the Celtics could turn around, but playing Boston would be an amazing motivator, mm-hmm. I think, for the team. Like, I think, you know, I don't think Kevin Durant cares about the Celtics versus the Wizards. He probably doesn't really want to play the Wizards because that would be like playing in DC in his hometown. But I like the thought of Kyrie beating Boston in 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And like that ghost be vanquished.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree with that sentiment that like Boston is even still, despite the Jaylen Brown situation, the better team. But there's such a wounded gazelle vibe to that team that like I really wouldn't be surprised if they pooped the bed in this play-in tournament here.
If every team in the playoffs was an animal that was wounded, the Celtics would be the gazelle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
The Wizards would be some kind of dog that's angry and snapping.
Yeah, it's a rabid dog. Cujo.
And the Nets are a beautiful eagle soaring above the clouds. And
does it have to be injured? I mean, what's the injury there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
A broken claw. A slightly broken claw. Probably a pulled hamstring, knowing this
team. Eagle with a pulled hamstring.
Jesus. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Coming back, talk more Nets.
Wow.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. Bri Guy.
Talk
so we've been talking Celtics Wizards. I don't know if I've gotten the definitive... What does Brian Egan want?
Oh, it's Celtics by a long shot. Yeah, I mean a true like therapeutic. It'd be like the, you know how they have those like in like Hollywood or whatever, you can like pay like $500 to go like smash some like microwaves and stuff in a room, like a what do they call it? Like just like a breaking room,
like a smash room, whatever.
That's sort of how it is. That's for me. Like, just like to just completely smash that team, have everybody like fire sale, only Tatum's untouchable, you know, start hearing those types of rumors. That would be the best outcome. Because I feel pretty confident going to that series too.
I would love a dramatic Brad Stevens is fired, isn't fired, but goes to Duke. Like Coach K retires, Brad Stevens comes in and goes to Duke, and they hire like Lionel Hollins to run the Celtics.
Based on what, again, going to the Bill Simmons recent episode, they seem to think these guys care about or listen to the Boston Celtics news ecosystem a bit more than I do, that Brad Stevens is still untouchable. Like they're like, all these memes about Stevens getting moved it's not real. So,
yeah. And Indiana University offered Brad Stevens something like $10 million a year. Recently, and he turned it down, and that's why Mike Woodson's at IU.
Mm.
Yeah. From like a pure basketball perspective, taking out emotions, taking out sort of the nice storylines, it's still tough for me to think about who would be the better matchup. I mean, because if you do look at it, the Wizards beyond Beal and Westbrook, they have like a nice rotation of bigs. Alex Len, Robin Lopez, and Daniel Gafford. Like, that's like a nice threesome, but that has no effect on the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys aren't Jonas Valanciunas. Like, Valanciunas level big, the Enes Kanter big, the Nikola Vucevic big are guys who can score down low and kind of create havoc. None of those three bigs on the Wizards can really do that. I mean, they're pick and roll guys. They're kind of relying on other players to do what they need to do. So the strength of the Wizards' bigs, which is not even that strong, doesn't matter for a Nets series. The rest of the roster's horrible. Like, who's Davis Bertans? Who would he guard? He'd have to guard Bruce Brown. And Bruce Brown would make Davis Bertans regret.
Oh, my gosh.
Every second of his life.
What a fun thought. The Bruce Brown-Davis Bertans battle. That's an amazing thought. I hadn't even considered that.
And so I think it's like... It's the top line of Westbrook and Beal, which, you know, they could go off for 65 combined a night, with Westbrook getting 15 assists and 10 rebounds every night, and the emotions of Westbrook versus Kevin Durant, like that, and obviously James Harden, but more Westbrook and Durant. But I think if I did the whole like player X on all this whole roster's player X and this whole roster's player Y. And I just looked at the stats. I didn't think about the emotions of it. Boston's the better team. They haven't been recently, but I think Boston has more talent. I don't know. I don't know if it's that significant. Does that make sense to you, or do you think it's like...
Totally. I mean, I think it's an interesting question because I feel like they're kind of polar opposites. Like, you know, Boston's on the decline, but it's like still a very real, like well-coached, well... Like, you know, a franchise that just does well at these types of things and has done at the highest level for a very long time. The Wizards are like pretty excited about their like meme status and their ability to like rattle off a bunch of wins just off of like hotter than fish grease moments from their two from their two stars, but that's not infrastructure there. They're just riding a crazy night. You know, they're just having a crazy time and enjoying every second of it, and it's super fun to, you know, watch and be a part of, I'm sure. But it's not like infrastructure, reliable, you know, the bones of the thing are not really as like threatening ultimately. Like, and again, I don't think like Brad Stevens and that team has what it takes to like 5D chess a win in the 7-game series against the Nets. Like, I'm not really worried about that, but you know, if we're talking about percentage chances, it's like, I guess it's like, I'll put that like 10% of like, they just have a real coaching staff and a real, you know, a sort of just been doing this on an elite level for a while.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of that team. Health is such a strange thing with the Celtics, but just like, I don't even know, like Kemba Walker has been out with this neck injury for the past few games. Marcus Smart has been out for just a couple of games. I don't even know where Evan Fournier is at this point. Like, I feel like that trade, like everyone got, not everyone, but people got excited for the Evan Fournier to Boston trade. It was only like second round picks and all that stuff. And he's feeling significantly better after a vaccine shot. I'm reading about Fournier had some COVID stuff. But if all healthy, like if all playing, Walker, Fournier, Brown, Tatum, and whoever's at center, and then Marcus Smart coming off the bench, or Marcus Smart starting, and is a way better team than the Wizards. But the Wizards have the momentum. They have the emotion. Yeah. It is Durant playing in DC in that series. It's Durant versus Westbrook. Bradley Beal, the Nets had tried to trade for, reportedly, Bradley Beal like multiple times. And, you know, the Wizards were just like, we're not going to do that right now. So there's sort of like all that cross mixing and matching. If I'm being real with you.
Yeah, get real.
I wouldn't be concerned either. Can I say that? Yeah. Can I just say I wouldn't be concerned either way?
That's what I'm saying. And I guess like also I would say like the Wizards concern is like, if I really think about that matchup, like the defensive, I mean, our whole thing is like, if we're playing a team that actually plays defense, like maybe that's a way to like mess with the Nets or whatever. But the matchup with the Wizards is pretty, like, to your point, the more I think about like just Davis Bertans being in there for extended periods of time. And like, he's just like, if we're in a shootout with the Wizards, like, great, awesome. You know, we'll shoot out with a team like that all day. That's a perfect situation for us.
Yeah. I think the Nets, I think, essentially have a week off now until their next game. I don't know exactly when their next game is. The Wizards Celtics play on Tuesday night. Whoever wins that game will be the team that plays the Nets. And then the loser of that game has to play the winner of Hornets Pacers to decide who plays the 76ers. You know, I've heard the argument that the one seed and two seed are at a scouting disadvantage. Where traditionally in the playoffs, if you are the one or two seed, you know who the 7 or 8 are going to be because it's more clearly defined than the play-in tournament is. I have faith that the coaching staff of Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni, Ime Udoka, Jock Vaughn, everyone that they have there will be able to scout the Wizards or the Celtics at this point. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you another thing I like?
Yeah.
I've always liked it when there are playoff series that both teams could go by train. I've always been a big advocate of Amtrak.
Got it.
And with either DC or Boston, the Nets could just be Amtrak in their way.
Yeah.
No private plane necessary. Just get on the train. It's so easy.
Why are the train tickets expensive, though? What's up with like expensive train tickets? Because I feel like it's basically the same price as a plane.
Do you want me to go into the union?
Is that what's going on? Is this crooked unions? We'll bust them up. Bust them up, Mike.
You got to get in early on a – you could get a good cheap train ticket if you get in early, Bri. You know, you can get a real like a $35 DC.
I don't believe
that.
On an Amtrak? Not for
real
one.
A $35
price. There's no way. There's no way. We'll in the chat. Somebody in the chat, Google this. There's just no way.
I've always loved when you go to Penn Station – and you're in the Amtrak area, and you look at the board, the big board, and every train is basically either to Boston or DC. Mm-hmm. But there'll be that like one train to New Orleans, and you're like,
"Yeah,
it's a nonstop to New Orleans.
I've wanted to do that forever.
The train to New Orleans,
12 hours.
Wouldn't that be a great bachelor party idea? Just get on the. Go to New Orleans and just get back.
It would start being fun for the first 2 hours, and then you're pretty drunk on a train, and you're there. You're stuck. Yeah, that can go either way. Yeah,
drinking the single serving wines.
Yeah, yeah.
They do usually have Goose Island IPA on a train.
That's right.
Yeah,
Goose Island got in good with Amtrak somehow. They figured that out.
They goosed it. They goosed it up.
They goosed it.
Yeah. So I've always enjoyed the idea of a train series, not a subway series, but a train series. And the Nets have that. They're going to have that either way. There is some news about attendance, and I don't want to say I called this, but I called this. Governor Cuomo will announce, this has been tweeted out, that they're going to allow an expansion of venue capacity for both Barclays and MSG up to 50%.
Wow.
It was at 25%. Now it's going to be up to 50%. I think there's going to be fully vaccinated sections with something. So maybe if you indicate that you're fully vaccinated, maybe you could even be a little bit tighter with the crew. I kind of tweeted out that was going to happen beforehand. Wow. No crediting needed.
Yeah. No.
How much will crowds matter? So this is a big brain question.
In general, because how much? I would like to see just like this would be a really fun season to kind of try to deconstruct that with some deep analytics. I don't know exactly how you would model that out, but you know, it's been a pretty unpredictable season analytics wise. I'm wondering, like, I mean, you can't. The problem is there's no control, right? You can't just. There's been so many other variables that like just the not having crowd is. It's a wash. You can't control for it. But
I mean, you can. So this doesn't work. But you could go back to the bubble games, right? Because there was no crowd, and teams were shooting at an extremely high clip. But those are the best teams. I mean, those are the best half of teams in the NBA because the Pistons weren't there and the Cavaliers. Like, so the bad teams weren't there. The bad shooting teams weren't there. Most of the good teams are there. And then in the playoffs, it's the best teams. There's no crowds. I mean, frankly, I think it's going to be not good or bad. It's just going to be an X factor that there are crowds because these guys haven't had full crowds, even at like 25%. It gives you a little energy, but it's not full throated. Those crazy Utah Jazz fans, you know, throwing racial slurs at players, as they do.
Crazy Utah. Well,
speaking of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
It's going to feel different. It's like there's going to be more people in all of these buildings. 50% is pretty hefty. And it's only going to go up. Like if the Knicks get to the second round, the Nets get to the second round, they're going to put it up at 60% or 65%.
Is it just going
to
go up with every round? Like how, what's the highest in the finals? You know,
I think it could be a full stadium in the finals.
You think so? 100 maxed out, sitting elbow to elbow with somebody.
We've already been told. I'm not a scientist, you know, and you're not a scientist.
You take that back.
I like to play one on a podcast. You know, I for years I was an Achilles specialist on this podcast. Now I'm a airborne diseases specialist, an epidemiologist, which is not that, but I'm also that as well.
Sure.
CDC has already said that we don't need masks if we're vaccinated, indoor or outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need them. Yeah. Throw them away. Burn them.
Yeah.
Burn them with those LeBron jerseys or whatever the jerseys you wanted to burn.
Yeah, whomever.
That's now. We're mid-May. The NBA Finals will be in July. You know, President Biden himself said by Independence Day, we want everything to basically be back to normal. We're pretty much already there.
They're going to force us to have barbecues on the 4th. It was a government mandate to have a barbecue there. Actually, it was funny because I went to a bar for the first time, like just solo, like – weird, you know, weekday bar situation. I had to be out of the house because boring story anyways, because there's Zoom meetings going on in the house so I went out, had a couple by myself, and I was just sitting at the bar. It was like, you know, another guy sitting at the bar, and there was a funny moment where it was like, are we gonna meet a stranger? It's like, you know, I haven't talked to a stranger in a year. Sure. You know, and we had to do like a should we talk. You know, it was kind of a funny. It was a meet cute. It was a meet cute. We did. His name was Anton. He started a moving company. He's crushing it. Shout out to Anton.
Yeah, that bar. I went into a restaurant. Just look around at people, and you're like, hey,
yeah,
Look at us.
Look at us. Look at this.
We're just around each other.
Yeah.
But I've already seen, like, you know how much distance people usually keep on the sidewalks, the masks on, 6 feet of distance?
Yeah.
I've already begun to see more and more, like, conflict.
Oh.
Masks off, people bumping into each other, the person texting on their cell phone, bumping into the person who...
In rural Maryland, this is going on?
In urban Maryland. Urban.
In rural Baltimore, this is happening?
In Bethesda.
Yeah.
Bethesda, the well-heeled Bethesda.
Got it.
I did see it happen. I was like, we're back, baby. America's back. Yeah. We're yelling at each other on the sidewalks.
Nice.
I think it's going to be full tilt.
The dog pound is up and operational.
So I don't want to bring this too full circle, but if the Nets or the Knicks are in the NBA Finals, there happens to be a governor who seemingly has liked to govern via distraction
mm-hmm.
since a lot of these sexual harassment stories have come out about him.
Yeah.
He does these announcements that are exciting because he wants to hide from the other news.
Yeah.
I could see that type of person saying, hey, let's open up these stadiums to full fans if the Nets are in the NBA Finals or the Knicks.
Right. Just for that reason.
Just for that reason.
Yeah.
And then you and I will be sitting. I've always wanted to do a live pod right at the mouth of where people come out of the subway.
Yeah.
I want to be in the way of an escalator. Like, I want to be sitting right there. Getting yelled at.
Well, we've been Twitch streaming the games, and I thought a fun part of it, they would never let this in the Barclays Center, but like the way that you can like IRL stream is you have this like backpack that has your like server in it basically, and then you're just like using your phone to stream yourself.
Really?
But the thing is that backpack, it'll trigger it just looks like a bomb. It basically is a bomb. So they'll never let that in. But that's the dream. That's the dream. We'll get a special press pass for that, Mike. You'll work on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel pretty good about where our podcast is right now. Is there anything else you want to hit before? Is there anything else? I mean, we should mention the Spencer Dinwiddie news. It's been out there long enough that I feel like the takes have been had. But Spencer Dinwiddie told Forbes that he hopes to return to play in June and that he wants to remain a Net, but that he is going to opt out. Those are three bits of news in one sentence. The part that he wants to return in June, I think he said mid-June, exactly. You and I have been cataloging this all season long.
Mm-hmm.
We think he's going to come back. If it's mid-June, that could probably, I think that's conference finals time.
Yeah.
That would be a matchup against, you know, whether the 76ers or, I don't know, the Knicks
yeah.
or the Hawks.
That was a dense article. There was a lot in there. He's launched an NFT platform. There's that. There's a whole bit in there. Shout out to that. What's the name of it? Galaxy? Something like that?
Galaxy.
Galaxy. Shout out to Galaxy. There's that going on. There's also the part in it was like, I want to play for the Nets. I hope they pick up my bird rights. Also, I'm underpaid. So there's a little bit of a... He's definitely begun the negotiations, you know, in spirit, if not in praxis. I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah. The quote is, if Brooklyn wants to use my bird rights and sign me, I'd be thankful to be back and be able to go and try to win, hopefully, a second championship. Which is like, yeah, of course you're hope. I mean, we love Spencer. You know, we've been Spencer stands on the show since basically the moment he signed.
Yeah.
He was one of the first players to appear on the Glue Guys. We had a delightful time with him.
Mike will never live down that he preferred Yogi Ferrell for him for maybe a fortnight.
Still not wrong.
Yeah.
Yogi's still got something left.
Yeah.
Except he has like a goatee now. I don't know if you've seen. So he's like trying to look older because he looks so young.
I have not been following Yogi Ferrell closely. You're still plugged in.
Yeah. You know, there's these, I only have, you know, those like player streams, those player only streams you can get if you're on like, I just have a League Pass stream that I watch.
League Pass. You're trying to watch the TNT game and they won't let you. So you're like watching behind the left backboard following, you know.
It's just Yogi.
Yeah.
Picking his nose.
Yeah. Him and Yagu Squirtle.
I don't think there's any, I'll tell Spencer this and I dearly, dearly love him, but I don't think there's any shot. The Nets sign him. I don't think they don't have money.
Mm.
It's nothing to do with okay, here's the thing. If the Nets were to re-sign Spencer Dinwiddie, because it's going to cost a lot of money to do so, it's going to cost at least 15. Spencer's saying 20. Said, I think that's a possibility.
He came in at 20.
If the Nets do via bird rights, that would show that Joe Tsai is the most committed owner in the history of the NBA, even more so than Joe Lacob and the Warriors, to consistently building. The Nets have the ability. If you don't know what bird rights are, bird rights allows a team that is over the cap to, or I don't know necessarily have to be over the cap, it allows the team that controls this player at the moment to sign him for whatever amount of money they want to sign him for, and it doesn't affect, they can be over the cap and do that.
Yeah.
That's a huge asset to have in a circumstance if you're the Nets when your team has three max players and Joe Harris making as much money as he is. And frankly, a couple other guys are making a good amount of money, DeAndre Jordan. If the team though would become so expensive, and Dinwiddie is a bit duplicative, they already have Kyrie Irving and James Harden, you don't really need a Spencer Dinwiddie at that point. But if Joe Tsai dipped deeper into his piggy bank and paid up for your boy Spencer Dinwiddie, that would be remarkable stuff as an owner.
How about Mike James being part of the highlight of the year? So that's a big moment for Mike.
I could see the energy vibing off of Mike James was like, I've been in Moscow running with a bunch of guys who could barely get off the floor. Yeah. And now I'm dishing behind the back passes off the back, off the backboard passes to Kevin Durant. You could see the energy.
And I couldn't help it was the most excited he's ever been as a Net. And also, he tried to give a one-sided chest bump to Kyrie Irving after the play, which wasn't for a lack of enthusiasm yes. for Kyrie. They just weren't doing the same thing. So Kyrie went for a flex, while Mike James went for a chest bump. And so you never want to be giving a one-sided chest bump. You know, that's always a dangerous situation.
You know, Mike hasn't fully locked in on who wants what in that given moment. Right. Kyrie's not a bump chest guy.
This is where I go. This is my level of neurosis, which is I would imagine Mike James after that be like that was such a good highlight, but damn it, I wish that chest bump went off better. that's where I am, you know.
Because frankly, the easy part of the play for Mike James is bouncing off the backboard. The hard part is the celebration.
It's unnatural to him. I mean, he's steely. That is as emotionless. I mean, that guy, he could moonlight as a stone cold hitman. You know, that's the vibe he gives off.
Who, Mike James or Kyrie?
Mike James. I mean, both a little. Okay. Kyrie gets there. He does a little sideline dancing, but it seems like he has to kind of he's been he knows he has to do it a little bit. It doesn't come as good. It's not a Theo Pinson pure elation, right? Whereas Mike James, sits there like he's plotting, plotting to kill people.
I just think he's kind of uncomfortable, right? He's the new guy in town.
I think it's a new guy in town thing, but I think it's also just a very natural, I don't have the enthusiasm gene. I'm this way. I have trouble with that too, especially playing basketball. Something about it, I turn off the feeling machine,
You're just a cold-blooded killer.
I've been called out for being why don't you you seem very disconnected, it's been, so I can relate to Mike James on that.
I'm more of a Boban. I'm just high-fiving, slapping butts, complimenting people.
Yeah, one-liners.
Compliment opponents. Yeah. Opponents hate it when you compliment them.
That's true.
It gets them off their game.
That's true. Like, what's the long play here? What's his con?
People love trash talking. I love friendly talking. Just chatting it up.
You're sweet.
Having a good time.
You're
hey,
sweet
great
boy.
Layup.
Yeah.
Speaking of sweet boys, thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
This is at BK Glue Guys on Twitter. YouTube. We're on YouTube. We live stream this. We'll live stream so much more. We'll be live streaming all throughout the playoffs. It's exciting, Brian.
Oh, super, super exciting.
The Nets are back.
The Nets are back. Thanks, everybody.